I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Marc-Andre Fleury, post-game, Sportsnet Pittsburgh, getting everybody all emotional up in there.
Tough to put into words, you know. This is my second home for a long time. We had so many great memories, you know, so many great people in the locker room throughout the years, and the fans, obviously, right? And again tonight, you know, I feel very fortunate. Thank you, guys. You know, those were some of the best years of my life. I really appreciate it, and it's so hard to say bye, but thank you so much. It's always so special, you know. So many good memories, right, playing here in Pittsburgh, and I don't know, I was in the first there. I was in so stressed, you know. I wanted to do well, and I don't know, all the love, you know, from all the fans was amazing, and all the cards, and again, thank you very much for all these years, guys. Thank you.
Seems like all we got as Penguins fans anymore is nostalgia.
Yep.
Milestones, Crosby, Malkin earlier on in the season, and now the honoring of Marc-Andre Fleury. Hell, last year they did the Jágr thing.
Yes.
And they're not selling out all these games. I think they did last night, and that's the way it's going to be unless they start playing better hockey. But I do think it's important to talk about what Fleury meant to this organization. You know, pick him first overall. He was really the bright spot of the team as an 18-year-old. And he plays Los Angeles Kings in his debut, and they barrage him with shots, and he gives up four. But yet he was still the number one star of the game because he had these bright yellow pads, and he's flashing left and right, and he was an athlete playing goal. And I think he represented hope for a franchise that went through it for a couple of years there. And it's crazy to me, Doran, that was 2003.
Yeah.
That was 21 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was 18.
Mm-hmm.
He's 39. Unbelievable.
It's crazy how fast these things go. I saw a clip last night of him skating out there for that first opportunity whenever he first got drafted, his first game. And I was like, wow, like that seems like it was yesterday. And it is all about the memories. But, you know, that was the start of something very special.
Yes.
In 2003, and then I think, what, Malkin came. Who came next, Letang?
So Crosby came
in 2005.
Mm-hmm. And they had there was the lockout. And then Malkin came the following season. And they made the playoffs every year.
Right.
For a while with Malkin and Crosby. And then, of course, the cup run in 08. Then they win the cup in 09. Fleury was the start.
Mm-hmm.
Fleury was the start. Jordan Staal lump in there at the beginning.
Yep.
That was the talent core at the time. But he was the first one.
Yeah.
And it was topsy-turvy. I mean, they sent him down to Wilkes-Barre, but it wasn't necessarily his fault. Those teams were horrific defensively. And you had Michel Therrien saying, we're the softest team in all the league. We're soft. But he gave you hope. And then he makes the save of saves against Detroit when that team was clearly better than the Penguins in 08.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were better than the Penguins in 09, too, and the Penguins showed guts, and you get the text from Lemieux, and it fires the team up. He makes that save, and after that, to me, it's all gravy, and he had some bad times. I mean, the 2012 playoffs, 2013, he gets benched, doesn't even play against Boston. It's Tomas Volkoun, and it wasn't looking great there.
Mm-hmm.
16, hell, he gets benched for Matt Murray, but then in 17, they don't win without him. He was great against Columbus. He was outstanding against Washington, including in Game 7 in the second round of the playoffs. All told, part of three championships. His number 29 jersey will be inducted into the rafters one day at PPG Paint Arena, and for good reason. But he would, I mean, you want to talk, like Crosby and Malkin, they come in and we're teenagers, right? I mean, Fleury, I'm 13 years old.
Yeah.
Like, that was middle school.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Yep. I think the real story is what you just nailed a little bit ago, is that we're living through nostalgia now, and this is where we're at. These guys are getting old, and the Penguins aren't very good. Like, that's the real story that I don't think that we even wanted to go down that path and just acknowledge that this is the things that we have to hang on to. And it would have been nice to hang on to it while the Penguins were, you know, winning right now. But I think that we are seeing the end, literally, of everything, of the start. And that's sad in a way. You know, I'm sure if you were there last night, your heart was pulling you in so many different directions. Like, you wanted to feel good, but you also have to acknowledge that this is the end.
Yeah.
Because Fleury was the start of the end. And it is ending right in front of our faces. And he ended it last night. And it's a feel-good moment, but at the same time, you are literally watching the end of that.
You're right about the Fleury deal being the beginning of the end, and I think every general manager in hockey would have done the same thing at that time. Protect Matt Murray in the expansion draft, and Marc-Andre was going to leave. And he wanted to be a number one guy, and Murray had just won two championships for you and had been an elite goaltender in the process. So I think everyone does it, but hindsight being 2020, the wrong move. But I'm not killing Jim Rutherford for it. Again, mm-hmm. Every GM in the league would have done it. The younger goalie who just won you two championships, you're riding with that guy.
Right.
But then Murray went through some personal things in his life, didn't wind up being the guy he had been in those two playoff runs. He falls on his face. It leads you directly to Tristan Jarry. So you're in that goaltender position you are right now because Marc-Andre Fleury left.
Yep.
And that was the domino that fell.
Yep.
I mean, you get average goaltending in a couple of those playoff series. We're not talking about a team that hadn't won since 2018.
And I think that if you're Fleury, like, you, that was the perfect time to leave, because it could have gone one way, or it could have gone two ways. It could have been pretty decent, or it could have been really bad. And I don't know if this reception would have been as good as it was. It probably would have been, but you could have left on a real, real, real. You left it high. You left Pittsburgh high.
Really well said, too, man.
It could have been very, very sour note that you left Pittsburgh of being in playing very bad for a team that, you know, that was clearly aging at that time.
Yes. It's a rare story.
Very rare.
Because I'll tell you what. I mean, 2012 in particular against the Flyers, he couldn't stop a beach ball.
Mm-mm.
They were bad in front of him. He couldn't stop a beach ball. His playoff failures after the cup run in 2009 were significant. I mean, he got benched, like I said, for Vokoun in 2013, and it wasn't looking good. And then he helps in 16 and 17. Like, they don't get to the playoffs without him in 16. They don't win the Stanley Cup in 17 without him. And I think now, in Penguins history, you almost forget about the bad times.
Right.
But to me, that's as much of the story as anything, is someone who persevered.
Yes.
And a fan base that now wraps their arms around this guy, one of the all-time favorite athletes in this town, one of the all-time absolutely favorite Penguins, for a guy that was public enemy number one for a little while there. It's amazing.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.